Hello and welcome to the second episode of Killing Floor Film Podcast. This week is a Star Wars special. Woo!
Yay! Yay! Scrolling text.
Exactly. I'm Chris
incest.
Nagg.
Incest
is always great. I'm Chris Nagg.
I'm Chris Martin, as usual.
So this week we were going to do a normal podcast and then we thought, no, Star Wars is the big topic of the... Since it's been announced, Star Wars Episode 7, 8, 9, it's the big thing on the internet. This is bigger than the Avengers, it's bigger than the Dark Knight. This is the most important news I can think of ever.
I can't think of much news, so yeah, I'll go with that.
I think this is a big deal, a very big deal. J.J. Abrams is announced as the new director of the Star Wars Episode 7. Thoughts? What do you think? Star Trek and Star Wars? I think it's greedy.
That's the main point, is Star Trek and Star Wars. But, to be honest, as much as they claim that they're very different people and they're very different groups, it is basically the same demographic in essence. It is the same sort of thing. And he did a great job with Star Trek. He took it on and it was... Star Trek has a far worse reputation than Star Wars does. Its reputation as being geeky, as being sort of silly, as being...
Sorry, you want silly? Star Wars Episode 2. There you go, there's silly.
Okay, that was silly, but that was silly aimed to be silly, to be honest. That was when George Lucas decided he really wanted to make kids' films.
Oh, but it's not a kid... Star Wars Episode 1 is about trade embargoes. That's not a children's film.
Yeah, but
trade embargoes!
Yeah, the trade embargoes are a small background element of what is essentially, let's let a boy fly a spaceship.
Yippee!
Let's have a tall Jamaican alien.
Oh my god, Jar Jar Binks. I swear if JJ has anything like that in his film, I'll hurt him. I will track him down and I'll hurt him.
I can guarantee he won't. I can just guarantee he'll have overly intricate plot elements that are distinctly unnecessary.
I don't think that you will. The writer of the new film.
Think how unnecessarily complicated he used to reboot Star Trek.
Yeah, but like he's not doing a reboot, he's doing a story continuation. It's 7, 8, 9.
He had a reboot. They're the simplest things in the world. You just pretend like nothing ever happened.
You can't do that with the original... Like,
You don't need to have Leonard Nimoy.
The charm of the original series, the reason people like the original series in the original film, Star Trek, is because it was Shatner, Nimoy, DeForest Kelly. You went and watched Star Trek for the cast. Let's face it, the plots aren't great. Exactly. It wasn't a great series.
There was an episode where they were basically just invaded by sort of
Furby
cushions. Yeah, it wasn't well written.
Oh, it was a bad episode.
But anyway, Star Wars special, not Star Trek special.
I think JJ is a good choice, but he's a safe choice, I think.
The problem I have with him is he does tend to, I don't know what I want to say, but abandon his projects. Not like he doesn't like leave, he just, sort of like an abusive father, he just starts to neglect them. And doesn't really give them the attention they deserve. Because can you think of an Abrams project he's really seen through till completion? And didn't just start phoning in.
Star Trek 2 doesn't look like a phone-in. My problem is, he's just...
Oh, no, it's two-thirds of the way through he starts phoning in. I'm not worried about the first two films, I'm worried about the third film.
Yeah, true.
Because Lost...
That, if he makes a third film.
Fringe, was it? Or was it Doll's House? Fringe?
Fringe, Doll's House was Whedon.
Yeah, Doll's House was Whedon. Fringe. Yeah, again, two-thirds of the way in. Just... stops turning up. Actually making an effort.
My problem is, like I said, I think it's...
Lost is the ideal example of this.
I like the ending of Lost. I'll stand by that.
Well, it's safe, but who would you have given it and it been dangerous?
No, I mean, I don't think it... If I was going to have to choose, I would have gone with someone like... there was rumours going around for quite a while that Matthew Vaughn, who did Stardust and X-Men First Class, and Kick-Ass was going to direct the first film, which I think is a more interesting choice because he's proven, he's got a track record of being able to make it his own style but not be distracting. I think JJ
His films do all have like a very clear style, but it's not quite Abrams' lens flare.
Exactly. It's like, it's not a distracting, oh, I can just tell straight away who the director is. Another one who was interested was a lot of people were kind of going for Jon Favreau, who did a
He's busy though, isn't he?
He's doing Magic Kingdom, but apparently he was like really, really pushing to do it.
What, Magic Kingdom or Star Wars?
To do Star Wars, he was like, yeah, really putting his name out there, and I think he would have done a good job.
See, I thought Favreau was linked with something else, but you're going to correct me. I thought it was linked with Ant-Man.
No, no, that's Edgar Wright.
It's Edgar Wright, there we go. I don't have those too confused.
But I just, I don't know, JJ, he'll do well, but I hope that they follow what they seem to be doing, which is a different, like the original trilogy, a different director every film.
I can...
And I know that Ben Affleck was apparently high on the...
I would definitely consider this in this, because I can imagine Ben Affleck getting high. But if he's a good perk.
I know that he was high on the list to be the director of the Episode 7. And if he's going to direct a Star Wars film, I think he should do Episode 8.
Yeah, you've got to
do the original trilogy, go dark, the second episode. If you're going to have to go dark, bring in
a dark director.
Because he's a good director who can do action, he can do suspense, he's great. I think he would have done a good job, but save him for a second film.
I think the thing with Affleck is I'd rather... Star Wars is, as much as it would probably be regularly grouped with sci-fi, it is more of a fantasy film.
Yeah, I mean, it follows fantasy tropes.
It's all swords. It's an elegant weapon. And
more civilization.
Yeah, and in that way, you can't really... If you're going to do the gritty side of stuff, it's a lot harder. You've got to take it in sort of a Game of Thrones-y direction, rather than a sort of... I'm trying to think of gritty sci-fis and none are coming to mind.
District 9?
Yeah, you can't...
He was a director who I really thought...
Mike Blomkamp?
Blomkamp.
I would definitely see Blomkamp doing one of his
but directors. With District 9, and then he's just finished Elysium. That's getting released this year. I think maybe he might want to just take a step away from hard-hitting sci-fi.
Go and make some little stuff and just...
Yeah, maybe not. I'd like to see what he could do outside of sci-fi. Or in a less fantastical... I mean, I know District 9 isn't fantastical in the sense of...
Swords and sandals and...
Yeah, but it's a high-concept idea. You know, it's
racism with aliens.
Yeah, which, you know, it was an interesting and smart idea for a summer blockbuster, but, you know, it's still a blockbuster. I'd like to see what he could do outside of sci-fi.
Not quite indie films, but sort of.
Yeah, just like Steven Soderbergh, you know, just mix up your genre a little bit.
Do something a bit more interesting.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I can... I mean, that's going back to Abrams. I can see him... I can't see him taking on... I can see him actually telling Lord Lucas to shut the hell up sometimes. And that his ideas aren't as good as he likes to think they are.
I think JJ will do a very good job. But there is an element of... Oh, well, that was an easy pick, really. You know, you're not really thinking outside the box. Which I hope is what they do with the film when they're writing them. They play it safe. They played it safe with the prequels. And I want them, with these new films, to just rein the story back in, make it personal, but, you know, challenge what we expect from a Star Wars film.
So would you, like, rather they went with the extended universe direction or...?
Personally,
that's what I've been told they aren't doing. I've been told they're going to... new plot and new things, but you've got such a wealth of material.
I just hope that the easy thing would be, let's follow the Luke and Leia's kids. Not Luke and Leia's kids. Leia and Han's kids.
Yeah, so Luke and Leia's kids.
Yeah, that would have been different.
That would have been very different.
They would have had like five eyes, six noses. I hope that they don't go down that route. You know, the extended universe has covered all that. I don't think there's much left to say, let alone, I mean, people, I don't want to see kids again in a Star Wars film.
Mm.
Not again. I think as much as I love Super 8, and I think J.J. Abrams did a really good job at, you know, getting good performances out of kids. No, I don't want kids. You put kids in it. This is after The Empire, so it's quite a dark time. Like, not as dark as, like...
But it's not as dark as in The Empire, but it's a politically divided time.
Yeah, I mean, it's still... There is still going to be an empire. There is going to be, you know, different... Yeah, I don't want a film of, let's train
the young Skywalker. You understand another... I mean, the first trilogy is a set of training films.
Yeah.
The second trilogy is a different set of training. And the if they keep doing that, they'll eventually...
They'll run out of ways to train. Yeah. And there's only boring.
There's only so many ways a man can learn to swing a stick.
Plus, it'd be really cruel if the kids were, like, shoved on Dagobah and they had to carry Luke Skywalker around in a backpack.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
That doesn't work out. I don't want to carry Mark Hamill around.
Are they going to, like, I know they've said they're not going to use extraneous stuff, but they're going to, I think, are they going to use stuff like Yavin? Are they going to look into stuff like Yavin for geeky, non-geeky stuff? That's the planet where the Jedi's used to be. Jedi's used to be? Yavin 4?
Oh, right, Yavin 4's the from Return of the Jedi. No, it's not. It's from the end of Episode 4. It's where the Rebel base is.
Oh, that was Hoth.
No, that's Empire Strikes Back.
Hoth, yeah, Hoth's the ice planet where they then go. But is it on Yavin 4?
Yavin 4 is from Episode 4, when they, right at the end, when they all get in their ships and then they get off and then they go and attack the Death Star.
Oh.
That's Yavin 4. It's just...
So I thought that was where he chose the new site for the Jedi Temple to be.
I think it is, but I think that's Extended Universe after...
Yeah, it's definitely Extended Universe.
It's Extended Universe after 6.
So you can use little stuff like that and not feel like you're going to the universe.
I just get annoyed at the idea that it's going to be another kid-focused franchise. Which, you know, I mean, the best part about the original trilogy is that they're reasonably dark. You know, they might not be Episode 3, where just, you know, it is doom and gloom.
Just misery upon misery.
Which, incidentally, I think is a really good film. Episode 3 is very good.
I think it's ruined by...
It's ruined by one moment, and we all know what that moment is.
It's ruined by many moments.
I hate it.
Just many different scenes of just bad performances.
Ewan McGregor is weak.
Ewan
McGregor's great. You cannot say a bad word about him in those prequels. He's the best.
He is very Kenneth Branagh Shakespeare.
That's not a bad thing. If he brings some gravitas and some actual, you know, if he treats it like Shakespeare, which is
I would love that, but I want the entire cast to do that. And the fact is, it isn't congruent as a film. It's got taking it very seriously, and. To be fair, Sam Jackson takes it quite seriously.
Sam Jackson's out of place, but...
He takes it seriously.
Yeah, but, like, you can say that most people... I mean, Ian McDermott, when he does his Darth Tyranus speech at the opera, that's amazing, that's fantastic. That's the best
that's a
thing
great scene.
Lucas has ever written.
He wrote
the prequels.
He subbed that out. His team wrote that bit. He did not write that bit. He can write dialogue for hell. And he certainly cannot plan ahead.
That the Darth Tyranus speech is amazing, and even if the rest of the film might not live up to all my expectations, that bit is fantastic. And with JJ coming on as well, there's some really bizarre questions, like who's going to do the music.
John Williams is the obvious choice.
John Williams is the obvious choice, and he said that he'd do it, but J.J. Abrams has never done a film without Michael Giacchino, who did all J.J.'s films. He did the music for Up as well.
Why can't they just team up?
It's a
clash in styles.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it'd be weird not having John Williams on it, like, just... Say the one about the prequels, but the music's very good.
there have been a lot of, you know, I mean, I think he hasn't got a choice to at least emulate Williams. It's one of the few stylistic hallmarks of the film is Williams's big orchestra, big sounds, big sort of chasing violins and such.
Williams said that he would happily come back and that he's already planning some stuff, but I mean,
how can you plan when you don't know what you got to do?
I imagine that he just sees the world in notes.
Yeah, how can you, yeah. I think he might be exaggerating that. He might have,
it's like that 30 Rock episode where Kenneth sees everyone as puppets, but John Williams just sees everyone as like a semi-quaver. Yeah.
Or a full quaver. Or a full quaver. If they quite like quavers.
Yeah. What do you think about the original, should they bring back the original cast? I know that Harrison Ford supposedly...
No, dear God, no.
I think we could all agree if any cast member deserves to come back, it's got to be Billy Dee Williams.
It's got to be Billy Dee.
Billy Dee.
No, it's... I mean, you could argue they make a justification for the return of Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill's just milked Star Wars for all it's worth, so he's just going to come back anyway, he needs the money.
To be fair, he did kind of get screwed over a little bit.
Well, that's what you get for having a car crash.
Yeah.
I'm down on the cast coming back as long as they use smartly.
I'm down on Hamill coming back, but the rest, the other two, I'm slightly unsure about.
Harrison Ford is just great at everything, so bring him back.
Oh yeah, but it'll be the same issue I had with old Indy. It's not the basic. It's a character you want to have settled down. And Lucas won't have done that.
He will. I mean, he'll have settled down with Leia. I mean, that's pretty much a given. They have to. There was never another love interest introduced.
Yeah, but do you really want to see a neutered Han?
No, I reckon it'll be like... seems though we live in the era of post-bloody Dark Knight... dark, oppressive movies, you can guarantee Han Solo will have like a drinking problem. He won't have seen Chewie for years. You know, he's having trouble. He can't reclaim his mojo.
Will they bring back Chewie?
Ah, they brought him back for episode 3. He'll be back.
No, they crowbarred him into episode 3 is what the phrase of you're looking for. We'll take that.
He'll be back, definitely. Yeah, 100% he'll be back.
Yeah, because they have no worries about will they use the original cast for Chewie.
Well, I think they offered Peter Mayhew money, he would do it. That's how much he needs money. Alright, the big question, the big one, if we're talking returning cast, do you find a way to bring Darth Vader back?
No. But...
I mean, you need a big bad.
You can use him in the plot, but it wouldn't be a big bad anymore. You need a big bad.
Yeah, you need a Darth Sidious or just someone to kind of...
What was the big bad in the Extended Universe as part? Wasn't it Yuuzhan Vong?
I've only read a few of them.
But I've just got a little nuggets for me. Yeah, it has to be an extra threat. It has to be a threat from outside. It has to be from the sort of...
They have to bring the Sith back. There's got to be a Sith at some point. I know that Darth Sidious and Darth Vader are both dead, but you can't have a Star Wars film without Sith. That's the rule.
No, you can't.
Alright, so this segues nicely into the main feature for today. They've announced Star Wars solo films. So, they've already announced a Boba Fett film and a potential Han Solo prequel. Who would you think deserves their own spin-off, their own solo films? And, you know, what would you want to see from them?
Boba Fett romantic comedy.
No, that'd just be wrong.
Boba Fett romantic comedy.
No!
He's probably, it's a fish out of water story.
No. I've thought about Boba Fett. What they're missing is... Predator with Boba Fett. Just imagine set in between in episode 5.
See, when it's a ruthless alien from space.
You can have that.
When it's a ruthless, very visually differentiated alien from space, it looks like, you know, it's in his nature. It's what he does. He's a big, disparate body. You're just making a serial killer movie.
No, I'm not. This is what I'm saying. Said it. You know, in episode 5, when Darth Vader lines up all the bounty hunters and like, I need you to go find Solo. Take all those bounty hunters.
Half of them are robots.
Exactly.
Half of them don't speak.
Throw them on a planet. They're there looking for Han Solo. And then they run afoul of Ewoks or something like that. Just a Predator they movie with the Ewoks taking down these.
You mean I'm...
Boba Fett would be Arnie.
I was more in tune with Predator 2.
No, none of that.
Don't know why I was in tune with Predator 2. Yeah, I kind of get what you mean of a film of almost sort of...
Just them
fighting off an unseen threat.
Yeah, I think that'd be... To prove that Boba Fett is an actual badass, especially after Return of the Jedi, when he falls down the giant vagina.
Doesn't he save? Ignore it, he's saved.
No, he falls down the giant...
Sarlacc pit.
And it's just... It knocks me sick.
He's safe.
Okay, go on.
His jetpack's out.
No, his jetpack broke. That's why he fell in the first place.
Jetpack's out.
Okay, my idea is... Obi-Wan Kenobi. Set in between 3 and 4, so you could have Ewan McGregor back. Imagine, it's on Tatooine.
You're making Gran Torino with a Jedi.
I was thinking 7 samurai, okay? You get him, and then some disbanded Jedis, or whatever.
Yeah.
There's Tatooine, you know, Mos Eisley's in danger. Obi-Wan's like, no, I don't want to fight anymore. I want to watch Luke grow up. And then he gets forced into action against the Hutts. Boom, you've got a film right there.
That's going to be hard to fit in and have it make sense. Yeah, we the Hutts just let this guy that tried to kill us 20 years ago just live in a little shit.
Yeah, it could be like Zorba the Hutt or whoever from the Clone Wars series, like just some distant relative.
But it's still a family.
And the Hutts.
And hadn't he protected Zorba in the past?
Yeah, but that's not...
Let's make this plot congruent, but that doesn't matter.
Obi-Wan never even meets Jabba in the original trilogy. So,
Jabba is like Zorba's nephew, isn't he?
Yeah, but it's...
I'll just kill my...
But... Just a general idea. I'm not saying
it has to be kill my uncle.
It has to be the Hutts, I'm just saying. Obi-Wan has no interest in the Hutts. He saved them a few times, but that's like... We're just going to disregard the Clone Wars anyway.
Yeah, but he has... And the Hutts have definite interest in killing... I mean, if we're going to disregard the Clone Wars, we can do it.
Yes, let's disregard the Clone Wars. I do anyway, as much as I love them. The fact that not once in the third film anyone thought, oh, it's just like what happened to Ahsoka. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sure you would know... Or at least make a passing reference to the fact that your Padawan's dead. Or she's left the Jedi Order or whatever. Let's treat the Clone Wars as our own thing. But I think 7 Samurai with Obi-Wan Kenobi. There you go. Bring in Yoda if you really want.
See, there's a character that really hasn't got potential for a spin-off.
I have no interest in seeing a Yoda spin-off whatsoever.
Unless you go pre-episode 1, you really can't do anything with Yoda.
Going pre-episode 1 has its own problems, though, because then... I can't think of much you'd want to see. I think the characters would all be a bit too young. Yoda would be the only one who could get away with it.
You'd have to be like a whole new... I mean, the thing is, well, you go into a point where... I mean, prior to episode... Wow, there isn't really much mention of the Sith for a long time.
Well, that's it. I mean, the Sith hadn't been around for a millennia before episode 1. That's why Darth Maul's such a big deal. And then... So, you couldn't even have a Sith villain. It would have to be, like... I don't know, Yoda fighting... a Stringer Bell version of a Wookiee. Just something like that. Yeah, it'd have to be...
What did you just say?
A Stringer
Bell version of a Wookiee.
What I mean, it would just be odd, you know, not having a Sith. would be really weird.
Yeah, it would be unnatural, to say the least.
I'd like to see a I'd like to see an Admiral Ackbar film.
I think
that'd be amazing.
If he wasn't such a ridiculous character, you could probably get somewhere with Admiral Ackbar.
The Mon Calamari are amazing.
They're fish people.
They're fish people. Have it set like them fighting the Gungans.
Their name implies they are fish people.
They're great. They're just so cool.
They're fish people.
Just imagine like the hunt for Red October with Admiral Ackbar.
No, I'm saying that. You can do a lot of stuff with the military side of it.
Exactly, let's make a true full-on...
But let's not use the fish man.
I think the fish man's... who's he going to use? Nian Num, and he's just him and Lando Calrissian going around.
You could use Mon Mothma, you could use...
Mon Mothma, you can sod right off. She's the most uninterested... I get it, many Bothan spies died. It's a very emotional time for her, but she's awful.
The Bothans wouldn't
be... And she already had her chance to be in episode 3 and she got cut. If you're getting cut from episode 3, you know you're not strong enough.
The Bothan spies sort of angle. I know you find it ridiculous, but...
I love it.
Bothans as sort of characters are quite interesting because they are basically a spy race and you could probably do quite a lot of spin-offy stuff with Bothans.
You could. I mean, that's what I love about the Star Wars universe is that there's so much potential around. Like... Oh, you know, theoretically, if you really wanted to, you could make a whole film about the Gungans.
You wouldn't want to. You did. It was called Episode 1 and it was dreadful.
Episode 1's not that bad.
It is dreadful.
It
features Brian Blessed, if I remember correctly.
Yes, as a boss nass. I'd like to see a Lando and Han film.
Well, from before...
Like, with them doing, like, a...
Before they met in Moss, well, before that, like, their days when they were betting.
Yeah, like their days as like rival smugglers. You know, before Han had the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, but who would you cast as Han? Who'd you cast as Lando? They're both like characters that are almost virtually defined by their actors.
Yeah, but I mean, they're already thinking about doing a Han Solo prequel. Why not just do it like this?
That's the thing about a Solo prequel. I don't get who they could possibly get to play him.
I'm gonna use my usual advocate of give it to Lee Pace, give the man work.
I would give a big advocate of giving Lee Pace work. I think there are obviously parts in a Star Wars film that you can give Lee Pace work, but judging, so I'd be inclined to go for Chris Pine.
No, I think to have actors in the same it's one thing to have J.J. Abrams make a film in both franchises. To have actors crisscross between the two would be wrong. It's not like Benedict Cumberbatch being in Star Trek and The Hobbit. In one he's a dragon, in one he's...
He's a necromancer, but continue.
No, he's a dragon, he's Smaug.
Wait, I thought he was the necromancer.
He's a necromancer as well, but he's a dragon, Smaug.
Oh, he's a dragon?
Yeah. Personally, I'd have given it to James Nesbitt. I mean, he's the best thing about the entire film. Just James Nesbitt's voice coming out of a fire-breathing dragon would just make my day.
And would deeply confuse mine.
Yeah. Or like, that'd be good, like some kind of alien film, but with...
Well, that's kind of the Predator concept you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I mean, basically, anything involving Mandalorians would be really cool. Mandalorians are...
Very
the biggest badasses of the universe.
And very unexplored.
Exactly, like, they did it in the Clone Wars and they've done really well. So I could imagine a film of just them, I don't know, like trapped in a temple or something. Like the raid with Mandalorians. Oh my god, I would pay to see that.
And you were talking earlier about Affleck getting a job, maybe.
Affleck doing a political drama set in the Senate. Just following, like.
There's a lot of space.
That's what I love about Star Wars, as opposed to Star Trek. Mm. Star Trek is very defined by its characters. There aren't many. You don't come out of one of the films thinking, God, I wish I could see a film about...
Yeah, I wish I could see Spock, you know, discussing what's logical and what's not, or Scotty fixing engines.
Scotty, the engineer he is.
Outside of Kirk, maybe Bones.
Bones would be interesting because I'd just love to see him in medical, you know, as a child, just going around going, damn it, no. No, Mum, I'm not coming in. I want to play.
Bones, just sort of house with Bones. just him telling people what he can and cannot do. I've never seen a man so proud of what he cannot do.
Damn it, I can't do this. I mean, that's the difference. That, you know, Star Trek's very bound to its characters, whereas
Star Wars is
a universe. It's someone said, I can't remember what site I read it on, but they said when you watch Star Wars, like the Mos Eisley cantina scene, and you're like,
there's 10 different stories going in the background.
Yeah, it's just like you're just watching like six, like figuring down in the modal nodes. Oh. Spinal Tap. Yeah. There you go. Just like do 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 do, and then a little Ewoks come on, and they've got like Yavin 4 temples instead of Stonehenge. There you go. JJ, listen to me. That was the best. That's a better idea than episode 7, 8, and 9. Well, I think we've covered pretty much all the bases
and all the potential things you can do.
All the potential. Yeah. To be honest, I think we could do this for a lot longer, but we can't bother.
And we'd really start rambling after a while.
Yeah. This is just a special, so from next week, definitely the next podcast, we'll try and get back to the usual format. But this was our Star Wars special, and we hope to see you again soon. So, cheerio.
Goodbye from me.